M. Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Just hours from now, Britain will officially crown King Charles III. It's the UK's first coronation in nearly 70 years.
Flowers are already in place at the Abbey for a ceremony filled with medieval traditions, including a centuries-old coronation chair.
The pageantry is just unique to this country.
This is what it's all about. This is what being British is about. This is what we do.
King Charles will be anointed with oil and will receive the orb and scepter, the traditional symbols of the monarch. And his wife Camilla will be crowned as queen. Tina Krause, CBS News, London.
Title 42 set to end next week. It's the Trump-era immigration policy that made it easier to expel migrants from U.S. borders during the pandemic. Secretary of State Alejandro Mayorkas.
We are building on the success of our parole processes that we announced on January 5th for the Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans. We saw a 95% drop in the number of encounters of those individuals at our southern border.
President Biden did a sit-down interview on MSNBC, his first since announcing his re-election campaign. A big topic, the debt ceiling. He said there will be serious consequences if the U.S. can't pay the bills.
Someone for the first time is saying, unless you pass this ridiculous budget I have, which is the way I would characterize what the Republican MAGA budget is, unless you pass this budget, we're not going to increase the debt limit and we're going to go bankrupt. The United States of America is going to renege for the first time in history on its debt.
If you're looking for a job, now's a good time to get one. CBS's Ed O'Keefe tells us about the latest report from the Labor Department.
Job growth in April blew away estimates and led to the lowest unemployment rate since the 1960s. Hourly wages also were up higher than expected. April saw the largest monthly gain in more than a year. But that's something economists say could spell trouble.
Weird to say, but wage growth is so strong that that might make the Fed nervous about future inflation and raise interest rates.
More than 100 firefighters battled a three-alarm blaze in a textile warehouse in L.A. County. Firefighter Ruben Munoz.
Because so much heat and flames and the roof was caving in.
It was completely destroyed. And while you start your day with a spot of tea celebrating the King Charles coronation, you may end it with a mint julep while watching the 149th Kentucky Derby. Post time for the Derby is 6:57 p.m. Eastern Time. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on at enjoymtpleasant.org.
Enter a world of wizards, hobbits, and gnomes at the Gift Nook in Kewaskum. Explore an enchanted land with locally made handcrafted gifts themed from nerdy to nature. And experience an interactive hobbit home. Visit the Gift Nook for a truly mystical shopping experience. 222 Main Street in Kewaskum or call 414-839-0066. That's 414-839-0066 or find them on Facebook and Instagram.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock, no sour, haha, funny hour. No sour, happy, fun time, haha, power hour. Welcome to the no sour, fun time, haha, power hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the No Sour, haha, fun time, power hour on this beautiful 75-degree sunny Friday afternoon. Maybe you've already opened a Corona. If you have, I am jealous.
Sitting on the porch.
Not a lot of those for me these days.
No, you got a couple of months.
And so, but we are marching towards the weekend with 1 hour left. And our guests for this half hour, I am so excited to talk to. You know, earlier this week, we talked to Oriana Carey from the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families, because it is National Foster Care Month. And today, we're going to continue on that conversation, on that topic, and we are joined by Susan Conwell, who is the Executive Director of Kids Matter Incorporated, and Anna, who is actually someone who graduated out of the foster care system. And so having a conversation, I think before, earlier this week, we talked about families and the people who, either foster parents, kinship parents, adoptive parents, but now kind of shifting to the kids and talking about how what the kids go through, what the kids need, what resources are available. And so I'm so excited to have both of you here today.
Thank you.
So I guess I definitely want to talk to you, Anna, about your story. But Susan, brief overview of what Kids Matters Incorporated does.
Sure. We work with caregiving families, youth in care. Today, one in 20 kids will be taken in by someone who's not a parent. There are a lot of kids who are being helped out by grandparents, aunts, uncles, older siblings. And we provide free help both in the how to navigate systems and free legal services. So we are always happy to help. We've got a lot of resources, everything from how do you assist with a loved one's addiction while you're navigating that path, to just, as one grandma said to me, look, I've always been connected to my grandkids, but when my daughter had that problem, I knew what school they went to, but not what bus line. And there's just so much to navigate when you become the primary caregiver. So always happy to help.
Absolutely. So then, Anna, I guess you're an adult, but
I am.
But as far as kind of tell us more about your background and your story as far as going through the foster care system.
Sure. So I grew up the middle child of 11 to a primarily single mom.
Wow.
I lost my biological dad to cancer when I was 6. So most of my childhood until I went into foster care was with a single mom. With most of the children at home, and there was substance abuse and undiagnosed mental health going on. So we had a lot of CPS interaction until I went into care at 14.
Okay.
We lived in a few different counties throughout Wisconsin. We moved around a lot. We touched a lot of systems, but we didn't stay very long. So when we were visiting family in Milwaukee from Iron County, which is up by Superior.
You were born up north?
I was born in Milwaukee. I lived a few years up in Hurley, Wisconsin. Okay. And then we were visiting family back in Milwaukee when my mom, my biological mom, injured my older sister with a flagpole over getting laundry done. So it was something that escalated very quickly, but it was the norm for us. Mm-hmm. And my sister, that time when this happened, she went walking down the road and she was determined not to come back. So she just left and she was walking down 7 Mile in Caledonia, and somebody picked her up somewhere in Racine and took her to the hospital. And after she received her medical treatment, we went into care.
Yeah. And so I imagine, as we've talked about before, 11 kids, I'm assuming you did not get to stay with all of your siblings as you were navigating through the system.
I did not. So six of us lived at home and all six of us went into the system. I was moved into a home originally with two of my sisters and my youngest brother, and my other two sisters went elsewhere. When that placement didn't work out, we were moved to Milwaukee. They kept our baby brother in Racine and moved the three girls to Milwaukee. So, and I was never reunited with my siblings.
Are you reunited today?
I am with most of them. As adults, we did get to decide whether we formed our own relationships, and I do have relationships with most of them.
And is that something that you feel like most people don't get as far as how hard it is to keep families together as far as siblings?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if there's six of you, how many homes in the foster care system can take six kids at one time? And even if they do, how many homes have all six kids stay until they age out? And then what does the visitation dynamic look like for those kids when some go home and some don't? Because the kids have no control over that. It is between the worker and the parents and the foster parent.
And so I guess that's the thing as far as, and Susan, you can answer this as well, or Anna, like how much in the system as it is today, like agency do kids have until they turn 18? As far as like how much do you get listened to? How much does what you want get taken into account? Like is it dependent on who your caseworkers are, but like how much do you feel like the people who this is affecting the most, which are the kids, actually get heard?
As far as going into care, of course, you have no choice over that. But because I was 14 when I went into care, I got to decide if I went home with my siblings or if I stayed in Milwaukee in my foster home. And of course, that is dependent on if there is a home for you to stay in. My foster mom fought for us. She kept us if we wanted to be there. And we were very lucky to have that. So we did get a choice. My sister and I did choose to stay. But outside of that, we did not have much choice. We didn't choose whether or not we saw our siblings. We didn't choose the school we went to or the rules we followed. And we didn't really have a choice over what our path looked like from that point on.
Is that something... Do you think there's more room to incorporate that as far as or is it at another level of complication in an already complicated system?
There are some things that I think youth do have decision over, and giving them the choices to make that decision. When you're 14, you don't know what your choices are. I knew that my choices were go to school, don't break the law, don't get kicked out of your home, and when you turn 18, graduate high school and go to college. Those were my choices.
Yeah.
So if they were opened up to all of the choices that young people have and somebody was breaking that down for me, I believe that I would have been able to make more choices for myself.
We're talking to Susan Conwell, who is the executive director of Kids Matter Incorporated, and Anna, who is a graduated foster youth, but now an adult, as we continue our conversation around National Foster Care Month. And one unique, I think, as far as bucking the stereotype of foster care, and what gets portrayed in the media is you are Caucasian, Anna.
I am.
But your foster mom and foster family were Black.
She was.
And so the kind of, what kind of racial stereotypes do you think get thrown out there that are just false? Or what did that experience teach you?
So I had no preconceived notion of what this would look like going in, but thinking as an adult, the stereotype of a foster family taking in four kids is not a single Black woman in her late 60s taking in white kids. And we aren't the only family that this happened with. It is just the stereotypes we make in our society. But yeah, we moved in. We had two foster sisters who were Hispanic, and then my foster mom and her family were Black, and it didn't mean anything to us. Being from a small town, it was trouble for my family, and my biological mom had more trouble with there being a race aspect than we did. We didn't ever think about that.
That's super. I just found that part of your story to be really interesting as far as, one, the range of people who become foster parents and the range of people, the youth who are in the foster care system, and not to make assumptions about that. And I guess, because when we come back from the next break, I want to talk about what it was like to graduate through the program and kind of what resources are available that people don't think about of once you're magically 18, what that looks like. But as far as in the couple minutes we have left in this segment, talking more about what are some of the other assumptions or myths that you think people get wrong when they think about foster care and foster youth?
The first thing that comes to mind is thinking about a teenager in the foster care system. You assume that they did something wrong to get there. You assume that they have broken the law, or they are skipping school, or they are doing something that put them there, when most kids are victims of addiction or poverty or
violence.
So I think that's a big stereotype that people think, especially for teens. And I knew a handful of teenagers in care when I was in high school, and we were all going to class. We all were college bound. We were doing what we needed to do and following rules that were set for us. And I've known many teens after turning 18 who are doing the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess when we come back, we'll hear more about, I think, the what it's like to age out of the system and what's available, because at one point, all of a sudden, there is a lot of people invested in your case, and then all of a sudden, they're not there.
Yes.
And what does that look like? And what resources and like help do you actually get? And then I think we'll also spend some time talking about, like, what does the average person, what can they do? What can they do to help? What shouldn't they do to become more aware? Because this is certainly a problem, as we talked earlier this week, as far as there can never be enough families who are available, especially when it comes to trying to keep kids, like siblings, together, and just different households delivering different needs that are needed from all the different kids who need help right now. So stay tuned. We are talking to Anna, who is a graduated foster youth of Wisconsin, and also Susan Conwell, who is the executive director of the Kids Matter Incorporated. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on, enjoymtpleasant.org.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Cloudy skies overnight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lowest level off around 54. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Highs around 66. Overcast again tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lowest dip down to about 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are continuing our conversation around foster care in Wisconsin because it is National Foster Care Month. And we're lucky enough to have Anna here, who has went through the foster care system in Wisconsin. We're also joined by Susan Conwell, who is the executive director of Kids Matter Incorporated. And Anna, I think with something that's interesting with your story, you know, some kids spend a short amount of time when they're kids at some point as being a minor in the system, but you were actually still living with your foster family, foster mom, when you turned 18, right?
I was, yes.
And so what does that process look like? Because I think that's probably something that is hard and but is forgotten as far as going from having a caseworker, having people, like I would assume, check-ins as far as how you're doing and navigating that to then all of a sudden, well, you are an adult now. You are no longer the state's responsibility. Yeah. And so what is that like?
So as a teenager, I'm sure everybody, but especially when you're coming out of trauma, you aren't thinking about what happens when you turn 18. You're thinking about what happens today and tomorrow and keeping yourself safe. So I was going just based off of the options I was given. So I was a quote unquote good student. I went to school. I did my homework. So from the very beginning, my option after aging out was to go to college. I went to a seminar sort of thing for teenagers aging out of foster care. And they told us, if you don't go to college, you will not have anywhere to live because you're going to move into a dorm and that will be your home.
Oh, wow.
So that was my path. That was what was set out for me. Turn 18, go to college. And I did. I graduated high school and I was accepted to a college and I got there and I didn't know how to be a student. I didn't know how to go to college. I didn't know how to take care of myself as an adult. I think most teenagers have teenage years to adjust to caring for themselves, but I went from 14 to 18 learning how to shower every day and go to school every day and take the bus. And so I didn't build on those skills in time. I didn't have enough time to build on those skills to be successful in college. And I withdrew mid-October.
Oh, wow.
At the suggestion of my college, who said, even if you have nowhere to go back to, find someone to stay with and try again next year so you don't have failing grades on your transcripts.
So that must have been a blow. And so
it was.
And so what was the next step for you?
I came back to Milwaukee and I couch hopped. I stayed with my sister. I stayed with friends. I stayed with a boyfriend, whoever had an open couch, a friend of a friend. I moved around for almost 3 years trying to find some stability. And in that time, I was back in survival mode. I still didn't get to build the skills that I needed to get a job, to get an apartment. Nobody was teaching me how. So
just Anna did work the entire time.
I would assume. But just because you're working, as we've talked plenty on this show, doesn't mean you're making enough to pay rent, have a car, do all the things that it actually costs to live on your own.
Right. And getting a car loan with no permanent address, or getting a landlord to rent to you.
Or imagine no credit.
Right. No credit. No, rental history is such a big thing for young people, or a co-signer that you don't have because you don't have parents there to vouch for you.
I think that's kind of all of the obstacles that we take for granted when you have a parent or someone who can help guide you as that dental bill comes up and you're like, hey, can I borrow some money to pay for this root canal or whatever it is, right? That, you know, in your situation, and I'm assuming, Susan, this is not an unfamiliar story as far as what a lot of 18-year-olds, as they first are navigating being an adult, ends up looking like.
Right. And people are well-intentioned when they tell youth, go to college, it's going to be your answer. But most youth need an option A, an option B, an option C, and a lot more experience in what it will be like to manage your own apartment, your own money, your own
life skills.
Life skills and relationships that are healthy, positive relationships.
And talking about how you can make money, you can form a career, you can get experience without a degree.
Yeah.
I left this school feeling like I failed, like my whole path was set out for me and I couldn't cut it. And what really ended up working for me was I got a job at a pet store that had a grooming apprenticeship, and they taught me how to groom a skill that could build a career. And it did. It introduced me to caring for animals and working in a field that I had never experienced or seen. But those are the options that we can give youth. Those are the things we can tell them, is you can be an intern. You can get an apprenticeship. You can get a job. You can do a lot of different things other than just go to college. And if college doesn't work for you at that time, you can go do another one of those things until you go back, if you want to go back.
Absolutely. Well, it went by really quickly. But so before we end, in the last minute or so that we have, what would you suggest as far as people who are listening, as far as what they can do to support the foster care system, youths who are in the foster care system? What kind of message do you want to end on?
I think, one, breaking down those stereotypes of what we think about teens in foster care and who they are and how they got there, but also talking to them like you would your own children if you have them, giving them all of the options that you would give your own child or any other child, so that they can be successful in whatever way that they choose to be.
Absolutely. Susan, any resources you want to make
known? I will encourage people to volunteer, to become court-appointed special advocate volunteers and partner with a teen, because we have a lot of wonderful teens. And it is, if you're only seeing people who are case managers, it's hard to know what else there is in the world as far as job opportunities. And people are looking for good people to work, and we've got a lot of good ones. So.
Well, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you.
When I wake tomorrow, I'll bet that you and I will walk together again. I can tell that we are going to be friends.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Britain's King Charles will be officially crowned just hours from now. CBS's Mark Phillips in London tells us he's always been something of a contradiction.
Living a regal lifestyle, but being an environmentalist well before it was fashionable.
The climate crisis really is a genuine emergency.
A better-than-expected April jobs report. Employers added 253,000 jobs. The unemployment rate sank to 3.4%, a 54-year low. So what does this all mean? CBS News contributor Javier David.
We're talking a lot about downturns, recessions, banking crises, layoffs, and all of that, with all of these headwinds coming at the economy, you would think that we would be like sub-100K.
Massive fire in L.A. County destroyed a textile warehouse.
We have a health hazmat right now, driving around the area, checking out the air quality. So far, everything's been okay.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Images are everywhere, on iPads, cell phones, or the cloud. In fact, everywhere but where you can find them. Mike Crivello Camera and Imaging Center has the solution to this problem. They're called pictures, and we print them right from our website. And you order them online at MikeCrivellos.com. And they look magnificent in your photo album.
Mike Crivello's world is a wonderful world of cameras.
It's not a picture till it's printed. 181st and Blue Mound.
Enter a world of wizards, hobbits, and gnomes at the Gift Nook in Kewaskum. Explore an enchanted land with locally made handcrafted gifts themed from nerdy to nature, and experience an interactive hobbit home. Visit the Gift Nook for a truly mystical shopping experience. 222 Main Street in Kewaskum, or call 414-839-0066. That's 414-839-0066, or find them on Facebook and Instagram.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We're almost done for the week, Jane.
Friday.
What do you have going on this weekend?
I am going to work in the garden.
Okay.
And you know how people have guardian angels? I have found a gardening angel.
Oh, what does that mean?
Her name is Mel.
Okay. What does Mel do?
Mel's going to do all the work.
Ah, she's a worker.
Mel is going to do the hard work. She's got a truck, and she's got stuff, and she has bags and tools and clipper things, and she's very impressive.
All right. Where did you meet Mel?
My husband actually found her working at someone else's yard in our neighborhood.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You just poached her?
We got a yard. It's sharing. But it's like finding a good babysitter, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, ooh. I'm keeping this one.
I feel like Debbie's had some of those where she has like good workers that work in her yard, and then she is very protective of them not not sharing them with other people, because then if they're not available when she needs them.
Well, right.
It's a problem.
Exactly.
So no to the coronation.
No, not watching the coronation. This does not excite me. It does not excite my husband at all. He is not a fan of Charles. And I will say my one takeaway from this that surprised me, although I guess it shouldn't, is that Camilla will be queen.
I know.
Not consort. And I really thought they weren't going to make her queen. Even though I'm happy for Chuck and Camilla, after all these years of being in love and all the drama, I'm glad they get to be together. But they ruined Princess Diana's life.
I know.
And he married her under false circumstances and just made her life miserable. And that, so I carry a little grudge about that.
I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people carry that grudge as far as, and it was interesting. I was talking to my mom this morning because she's similar. She's like, I don't know. I've never really liked Charles. But then she was like, I guess he has done a lot as far as traveling to former colonies to try to do like an apology tour about, you know, sorry about the whole slavery thing.
Oh, our bad.
I guess he's done a lot of conservation.
He is a big conservationist.
And so there's certain stuff as far as, I don't know if that is the forefront when you think of his personality and his legacy as far as like the good that he's done.
Yeah, well, exactly. And it's tough to put him up against his mother, who was there in World War II, and it's an entirely different...
Well, it was also there when the monarchy meant still had any kind of...
oomph.
Yes, that's the best word for it.
But even she was largely a figurehead.
She was largely a figurehead, but even the monarchy and the empire was still... There's still a lot of colonies when she first...
True.
Was, her coronation happened, right?
Oh, definitely.
And how much of that is sunsetted and been relinquished
right.
over her reign and is now even more, like, this is the most figureheady it's ever been, is where it is now, as far as it's just like, oh, the English people pay taxes so you guys can live this lifestyle. And so I kind of get why, as brutal as the British media seems, a little bit of an entitlement of the people of, we get access to your lives because we basically pay your salaries.
Well, there's that.
To not actually do anything.
Except open things.
And show up and look pretty and give us something to talk about.
Right.
That might be too simplistic. So feel free to correct me if you are a big royalist.
Exact, sure.
844-967-2789. All right, so no coronation. What about the Kentucky Derby?
No. Never. That I've never been interested in that.
Especially now this year, since four horses have died.
Oh, really?
Have you even heard this?
No.
Yeah, there's 4 dead horses in 6 days at Churchill Downs.
That's terrible.
It's terrible. It's such a bad, terrible.
That's awful.
On its own, it is terrible. I love horses. It is also an indicator of, are we still doing this?
And do we know what they died from?
I think I'd have to go read this article.
There's so many rumors about drugging these animals. And
one shattered a leg. So let's see. America's had fallen out of love with horse racing years before, but the sight of that lovely... Oh, that was 2008. I'm trying to skim this article as we're here. So I don't know exactly how the four different cases, but it's not a good look.
No, it certainly isn't.
It's a bit of a cloud going into the Kentucky Derby. I have a feeling we may do something for, I'm getting to the point where not a lot of fits me.
Well, I have a fascinator you can borrow if you want.
For the hat?
Yeah. See, I am pro hat.
I am pro hat too.
I would wear a hat tomorrow just to wear a hat. Entirely independent of the Kentucky Derby.
So, of all the things that are happening, are you going to do anything today for Cinco de Mayo?
I'm making Mexican food.
Okay.
For dinner.
So, because I feel like there's Cinco de Mayo, the Kentucky Derby, coronation, and we got Mexican food.
And what about you?
I think we might do something to watch the Kentucky Derby. I don't find myself, I will probably not be partaking because I assume that a lot of people who are will be much more intoxicated than I will be allowed to be.
Mint juleps.
Mint juleps. And but yeah, I don't think I'll watch the coronation. And I'm certainly not partying for Cinco de Mayo. So what is otherwise a celebratory weekend for many is probably lame. I'll just have to enjoy the sunshine and call it a Friday.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
All right. Well, we introduced this last week. Am I the sphincter? Because we don't want to say the actual word on air because of the FCC. But this is our new Friday afternoon segment where we take some of the more, entertaining submissions from the subreddit of Reddit. That is AITA, which is I am the...
Am I the... Sphincter.
Sphincter. And last week we did one about a young woman whose stepmother was very adamant about changing her name because she had a unique name. And I think we decided that the 16-year-old was not the sphincter.
No.
And for telling her stepmother, I don't like your taste in names because they're boring. This one I feel like is also going to be no sphincter. But in fact, we may all be just a little bit jealous. But am I the sphincter for telling my niece to stay in the closet until she gets her inheritance?
Ooh.
This is a 42-year-old male talking about his 17-year-old niece. So my niece recently confided in me that she is a lesbian. I supported her, let her know I'd be there, etc. Usual ally stuff. However, she told me she was going to come out to the whole world this week. I let her know she should absolutely wait for her grandparents, my parents, to pass. My father is incredibly wealthy and has tens of millions of dollars in assets that he will be passing down once he is gone. My father is a raging homophobe who has flat out stated any gay individual in our family would be written out of the will. And to make sure the rest of us don't just split more money with said gay relative, they will instead have that portion of the inheritance put aside for that family member donated to charitable causes.
Wow.
That money will be erased from the inheritance.
Wow.
Since both my father and mother are incredibly poor health, stage 4 cancer and debilitating dementia, respectively, I told my niece she should just stay in the closet for a little while longer. If she comes out as a lesbian and they find out, she will quite literally lose out on $7 million.
Wow.
She was a little sad, but she was also appreciative since that is obviously a life-changing amount of money that will allow her to live luxuriously until she dies. My wife, however, said, I am being the sphincter. I am telling this poor girl to hide who she is just to appease old bigots. That is true. I am asking her to appease old bigots, but I feel like her life quality will be much better with $7 million at the cost of 1 to 2 years in the closet at tops. I've also seen my father's will and know who is getting what, so my niece is definitely going to receive $7 million as long as my father doesn't rewrite or edit his will. Am I the sphincter for telling my niece to stay in the closet so she can be a millionaire? 844-967-2789. What a unique problem to have.
Seriously. Man.
I say no, because he's not forcing anything. He gave his opinion.
I don't think he's being a bad person. I feel badly for this young woman.
Yeah.
In a couple of different ways, because I'm going to deny who I am for money. Is that a good lesson?
Well, she's going to deny, and I guess it depends on how, what does it look like to come out to the whole world? Because it's interesting, you think she told her parents, who are also children of
the same
bigoted grandparents?
Right.
Did she only confide in her uncle because he's the cool uncle? And so there's some more details as far as, like, she could probably be out to her friends. And if her grandparents are in that bad of health, how much...
Hold not your breath.
What does that mean?
They could hang on for a whole lot longer.
Stage 4 cancer?
You never know, Kristen. I'm sorry, but you don't. Banking banking on someone else's ill health, I think, is a bad idea.
But would you, at the prospect of hiding a part of your identity for $7 million, you wouldn't do that? I think I would do that.
Oh, I think I would.
I don't think I'd be good at it, but I think I would try.
I don't disagree that I would do that. I am concerned about the long-term ramifications for her. And I don't want her down the road to be like, I denied who I was just for this filthy lucre, and I should never have done that, and I should have been true to myself. And although with $7 million, then she can get a lot of therapy.
Well, that's what I guess that's in giving the, like, one, I think there's the question of what would you do in that situation of whether or not you were going to come out in exchange for $7 million. But there's also, like, in this specific question, which is the task at hand, is he the sphincter for telling her that? I think he's not, because it's still ultimately up to her.
Sure, right.
He's just laid out, because he maybe she hasn't seen the will, and he has, and he goes, listen, you're going to get $7 million.
Trust me on this.
And you do what you want. If that doesn't matter to you, then it doesn't matter to you. But I think ultimately at 17, she should have as much information as possible. So I would say, no, he is not.
I agree with you. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. If you would like to weigh on, am I the sphincter? Our very own civic media, Todd Alba, is on the line.
Hello,
thanks for joining us, Todd. What do you want to say?
Kathy and Joanne, it's great to be on the show again. It's great to be with you. this morning I messed up Kristen's husband's name, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh, stop apologizing. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, the problem is both of you have lovely long-term significant others. Most of my relationships don't last long enough to know each other's name. So that's a whole other story. But let me tell you right now. For $7 million, I'll go back in the closet. I mean, come on. $7
million?
That's a lot
of money.
Like you said, Kristen, these people are going to kick off in the bucket, stage four cancer, stay in the closet, buy yourself about $1,000 rainbow carnation bouquet, put on the casket of these SOBs, and call it in a day.
I would go back. That's would you actually go back in the closet for $7 million, or are you being funny? Todd? Did we lose him?
Oh,
hello, Chris.
No, Todd, would you actually go back in the closet for $7 million, or are you just being funny? Oh, we dropped him.
Oh, we lost him.
Ah, Todd. I'm going to text him that question, because it's a very funny joke, but it's interesting. All right, well, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. It's Friday is here. The weekend is here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Shirt now with my bloody nose sleeping. Yeah, on your tippy toes creeping around like no one knows. Think you're so criminal. Bruises on both my knees for you. Don't say thank you. Oh, please, I do.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on enjoymtpleasant.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Weather brought to you by Nextech Glass, your hometown experts for auto, residential, and commercial glass repair and replacement. Please visit nextechglass.com. That's nextechglass.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 54. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 66. Cloudy skies. Cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
It's spring. Wake up. Everybody, it's springtime. Spring is here. Spring is here, spring is here, spring is here, spring is here.
Spring is here?
Spring is here?
Spring is finally here. With the snow and ice no longer seen.
The leaves are finally turning green.
That's why it's time to sing.
Spring is here.
It is here.
It is here. I think officially with a 10-day forecast that looks like this, I think we can say spring is here. May 5th. We're calling it. Sure.
I'm putting the shovel away today.
All right.
Yeah.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Was that SpongeBob?
No, this was from a movie called Lost in the Woods, which I have never heard of until I found it this morning.
What? Did you look it up at all? Or we just,
I was looking
like
for
a random musical?
It was Lost in the Woods, and it's all creatures. So there's a squirrel and there's turtles and there's baby birds and who are singing.
Is it old? Or is it like claymation? Because it makes me think of Lost in the Woods, then made me go to the Babes in Toyland? That old movie?
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Is it like that kind of movie?
No. It has to be more recent than that. Because again, these were actual animals.
Like
in the clip.
Oh, I've never heard of that movie. I've never heard that song.
Maybe I just invented it.
Maybe you did.
I mean,
I'm Googling
air.
Right now, Lost in the World?
In the Woods.
In the Woods. Let's see if anything comes up.
I found it on YouTube.
Oh, 2021. So that looks, it has one star.
Did I say it was good?
I've never heard of this at all. And yes, it has one star on Rotten Tomatoes, which is hilarious. A smart, resourceful boy goes on vacation. No. Or maybe that's 2009. Well, we'll do more research on this because now I'm intrigued. Anyways.
I still like this song.
It sounded a little SpongeBob-y. But tomorrow, if you're in Waukesha, Saturday, May 6th, the Waukesha YMCA will be hosting a Stuff the Truck event from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. to collect donation items for Hebron?
Hebron House.
Mm-hmm. It's an event that is in partnership with Two Men and a Truck's National Movers for Moms donation drive intended to provide mothers in need with basic necessities so they can enjoy their Mother's Day,
which is
May 14th. If you do not know that and you need to get a gift for your mother.
Get going on it now.
May 14th. But I actually was less familiar with Hebron House. And so it's basically what I've learned through this is they've been active in Waukesha for 40 years. And they serve as an advocate and resource for those struggling with homelessness throughout the city. And so their goal is to get people off the streets and on a path to improving their lives. And it's the largest nonprofit provider of services to unhoused men, women, and children in Waukesha County.
They do a lot of good.
So there you go. So yeah. So on Saturday, you can show up to the Waukesha YMCA parking lot between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. There's going to be music and food, and you can drop off full-size, unopened donation items such as toiletries and hygiene products, women's underwear and clothing, light jackets, baby and kids' clothes, cleaning products, pillows, hairbrushes, trash bags, and non-perishable food items and gift cards, also welcome.
Fabulous.
So if you can't make it on Saturday, the Waukesha YMCA is also going to have a donation box available in their lobby until May 11th. So yeah, so make your mother proud by helping families in need this Mother's Day. So feel good about that.
Yeah, definitely. And don't forget, another sign of spring, that it is officially official. Waukesha's Farmers Market starts tomorrow.
There you go.
At 8 a.m. And our very own Johnny Watermullen will be out there. So look for the WAUK booth that he's going to have set up. He will have some treats, apparently.
Ooh.
I do not believe that Ziggy the Wonder Dog will be there. Ziggy was actually in the office yesterday. He can do all kinds of tricks. It's really?
I've not seen these tricks.
It's really, I mean, beyond just the sit and lay down, he rolls over. He can play dead.
Ooh. Does he go like bang? And then he
Johnny does, yeah.
All right.
Yep. But again, I do not know that Ziggy the Wonder Dog will be making an appearance tomorrow, but Johnny Watermullen will be there, and I know he does tricks as well.
Are farmers, how are the farmers markets with dogs? It's usually a friendly thing as long as you have a well-behaved dog?
I would imagine so.
I don't know what Cliff would do. Cliff cannot do many tricks. He knows how to sit. That's about it.
But Cliffy is very antagonistic towards other dogs. Is he not?
It's funny because short answer, yes. But I feel like on a one-on-one situation with other dogs and a one-on-one situation with a person who's like walked into the house or on the street, he gets all barky.
Mm-hmm.
But in like big groups, like if we take him to like a street fair, I think it's too many people and there's too many things to bark at. So okay. He just shuts up. He actually is fine in bigger group situations than he is.
One-on-one.
One-on-one.
I'm taking you on mano a mano.
Mano a mano. Yeah. But, today was fun.
It was great. We had a great week. We had wonderful, wonderful guests. And thank you to everybody who called and texted and sends us emails. And I know you see comments on the streams a lot more than I do because we're kind of handling different things during the course of the show. So it just makes it makes it so much more fun and so much more educational.
Absolutely.
For all of us.
What did you choose? What's going to be on the best of for this weekend? What was your favorites from this week?
It's always tough because I can only pick four segments from the week.
Mm-hmm.
But I included the elk camp or okay. the elk spotting segment with the Wisconsin DNR because we love our DNR and all the work that they do. And I believe the other one was yesterday from 12 to 12:30. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who the guest was. This is what happens if you get old, Kristen. I can't remember what happened yesterday.
What happened yesterday? Yesterday was Thursday, the 4th, and at 12:30 we had... Oh, no, we had Dr. Lyerly.
Oh, Kristen.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
So that was, okay, perfect.
Will be the...
Which we still need to come up with the...
The name.
Well, we have plenty of names, but over the weekend we will we'll get together with Kristen and decide what the actual name is. But
and some of those were just
I said that to
priceless.
Todd this morning, and I said I'm not sure there's ever been a Wisconsin radio show that had more euphemisms for the word vagina in one segment than we did yesterday. My mom says she was laughing pretty hard.
Oh,
so that's always
good.
The litmus test, right?
That's if mom is laughing, that's a good sign.
If mom's laughing and not embarrassed, very good sign. All right. Well, thank you for a great week of shows. Thank you for calling and listening and texting. Come back Monday when we will do this all again. Have a lovely, safe weekend. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Spring is here. Spring is here, spring is here, spring is here, spring is here.
Spring is here.
Spring is here.
Spring is finally here.
With the snow and ice no longer seen.
The leaves are finally turning green.
That's why it's time to sing.
It's time to have some fun and make a difference, Waukesha County. Attend the 2023 Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha Dream Builders Gala on June 9th at 6 p.m. in the Domenica Park neighborhood. Help celebrate the accomplishments of last year while helping to create, preserve, and promote affordable housing in our area. Enjoy an upscale barbecue, live entertainment, and the chance to make a real difference in the lives of local families. Register now at HabitatWaukesha.org/events. That's HabitatWaukesha.org/events. Let's build a brighter future together.
When it comes to hair and makeup artistry, there is only one salon that you need, Raven and Blonde. Their stylists are passionate about their work and committed to giving you the best service possible. From precision cuts to perms, balayage to dimensional color service and more, the Raven and Blonde stylists do it all. Book your appointment today at ravenandblonde.com. That's ravenandblonde.com. Raven and Blonde, where hair and makeup artistry meets exceptional service.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.